Hello, and welcome to episode one of Mishmash Mayhem.
Mishmash Mayhem!
The podcast that takes the schoolyard question of, hey, who would win out of my favourite fictional characters, and talks about it as a podcast. I am Chris.
Hello, I am Matt, or Wade, or Matt Wade.
He goes by many almost the same names.
Many very similar names.
Yes. And today, for episode one, we will be taking characters, I think, that from, like, one character from one of my favourite franchises ever, and one, I believe, from one of your favourite franchises ever.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's like we're both being bullied at school, and we're getting someone to protect us, and we're like, I think this person would do it. And then it turns out we've been bullying each other, and we're like, well, now we've got to fight to the death.
Yes.
But not us, our proxies.
Absolutely, because why would we fight to the death? That's silly, when we could have surrogate fight to the death.
Exactly, and you know, if we get to meet them in person beforehand as well, that's like bonus winning.
That would be really cool. And although I haven't necessarily chosen my favourite character from this franchise, in your sort of premise of us using people to protect us, this character would definitely be better at protecting me and not harvesting myself.
Oh no, I accidentally summoned someone evil to protect me. All they did was use me.
Yes, so without beating around the bush anymore, for episode one, we are going to see who would win a fight between Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat and Link from Zelda.
Link, definitely not Zelda.
Yeah.
Who are you?
For all the people who are absolute Nintendo noob, Link is the guy in green and not the princess.
In Breath of the Wild, he's in blue.
That is true, he is in blue. Doesn't he get the green suit at the end?
I mean, you get various different clothes throughout, to be honest. There could be loads of different colours. In fact, you can go to a dye shop and you can dye your clothes different colours.
Oh.
I've never done that, because you have to dye the whole suit you're wearing at once, the same colour.
Yeah.
So you can mix and match, like, trousers and stuff. You'd have to then go and dye a different suit, a different colour. I just never got round to it, because I was like, I don't know what colour combinations would look good, and I can't plan it all in one go. I just never bothered.
There's probably some, like, YouTube Link fashion show.
I mean, if there is, I'm absolutely watching that immediately after this.
Okay, well, I bet there is, and we'll have a look after.
Right, so now you know who our fighters are. I'm just going to say roughly what we'll be doing. We're going to go through each one of our fighters one by one and just go through what kind of abilities and weapons and all that they have available to them. And then after that, we're going to randomly determine through the
Die of Death
where they're going to fight, because I think it's better if we don't know. And then we're going to decide by a reasonable conversation. And if you don't agree with us, that's tough. You're not here.
Not yet.
No, not yet. Special guest, random person from the internet.
I think you just love a random person from the internet, isn't
it? You're like Guy from Crowd in what was it called?
No,
Decline of Video Gaming.
Probably.
Guy from Crowd.
I don't remember that, to be honest. Decline of Video Gaming. I mean, there are many memorable bits that I do remember, but it's mostly just, oh my god, I'm on fire. Anyway, that's a massively old but brilliant Flash cartoon.
For those of you who don't know what Flash cartoons are, you're probably younger than Shrek.
Do you think Shrek was the decline of Flash cartoons?
I don't know, but one of the people at work is younger than Shrek, and it's just an age reference I use for someone who's young.
Okay.
Not very young. Right, sorry, I was going to begin. You wanted me to begin. Right.
Yeah.
On my side, defending me from great bullies, whatever, that's not necessarily the canon, but we'll go with it, is Link. We're going with a essentially post-game Breath of the Wild Link. He's not going to be in any special clothes. He'll be in his normal champion's clothes, because they're the ones that everyone sees. So unfortunately, he doesn't get any special bonuses for anything like that.
Yeah, it'd be a real sort of dick move if he had, like, ice-resistant clothing.
I mean, he gets cold-resistant clothing. That's different from ice.
Sure, but even so, I feel like that would be an unfair advantage in this fight.
Yeah, no, he's just going for his run-of-the-mill classic blue clothes, which no one said ever, because he's normally wearing green, but they're blue in this, they're quite nice. I'd wear them if I looked good in them, which I wouldn't. Anyway, as we all know, Link is a well-regarded swordsman. I believe in the canon he was the defending, like, champion knight of Princess Zelda. Whereas in other renditions of himself, he has been such things such as a small child who learns to be good with a sword. This guy, you can actually imagine that he is good with a sword. You don't get to be a princess's knight without being good with a sword. And without being a really good person as well, pointed out, you know, he's a good person.
So he's both a good guy and strong with a sword.
Yeah.
Sort of typical knight qualities, really.
Yeah, he's a standard, like, knight. He has his horse, as with all knights. There are actually a bunch of different horses you can get throughout the game. So we're just going to say he rides a generic horse, because there are a couple of special ones, but realistically everyone just wants a Pona, don't they? Because that's the old classic one. Yes. I can't remember if you can actually get a Pona.
No, well, not specifically, I believe, but you can name all the horses, can't you?
So you can just name it a Pona.
Any of them can be a Pona.
Every horse is a Pona.
Yeah.
You're a Pona too, and you're a Pona glue. Classic. Anyway, naturally, swordsman. He uses a shield as well. That should be worth noting. He is a one-handed swordsman with a shield rather than, say, a two-handed sword, typically anyway. But he's also adept at using other weapons, which he picks up from around. He can also use things such as spears and boomerangs and tridents and all that jazz. But all of these weapons, as in a malleable environment, they all degrade and break over time. The only weapon and his, signature weapon that doesn't ever get destroyed is the Master Sword.
I assume that's what he would be using during this fight.
I would absolutely assume it's what he starts equipped with.
Yes.
Makes sense. The Master Sword, as we all know, and we might not all know, is the bane of evil. It's had a couple of different names throughout the time, but most of them essentially get the gist that it's good at killing evil. It's also good at killing things that aren't evil, you know, just to point that out, but it is very good at killing things that are evil. Imbued within the sword is a natural magic ability where if Link is at full fighting capacity, in a meta sense at full health, he will be able to fire beams of power from the sword. And this has happened in many iterations of the sword, and indeed is included in this one.
When you say beams, do you mean like a consistent beam, or is it just like a
no, projectile? You know Guile's sonic boom.
Sure.
It's like that, but horizontal rather than vertical.
Cool. Just because, like, the only Zelda game I really know is Link to the Past, and admittedly that is how it works on that, but I just wanted to know, had it changed?
No, it's very similar to that. Obviously, being a swordsman, he's good at thrusting and stuff. He is also able to hold his sword backwards in a weird pose and then unleash his power to do a very powerful spin attack, which obviously has reach in all directions around him, except above, because 2D. Aside from that, he's also very good with a bow and arrow. And there's different types of arrows available to him. There's normal arrows. They're normal. There's fire, lightning, and ice arrows. Fire arrows will obviously be useful for setting fire to critters, grasses, trees, wooden things. Ice arrows can freeze patches of water for him to then use as platforms. Lightning arrows can be used in water to electrocute small regions around it and stun enemies. Very, very useful.
Just as a mild tangent, have you ever deliberately set yourself in water and used a lightning arrow?
No, but like when I started playing the Master Mode, I got killed 7 times at the same bridge by some dude sniping me with the lightning arrows.
That's annoying.
Well, it was annoying. I ended up going about... I didn't cross that bridge.
Yeah, I used a different bridge.
Went somewhere else. Additionally, he gets 2 kind of special types of arrows, the bomb arrows, which are just as dangerous and explosive as you can imagine. They've got like a little bomb on the end, so they blow things up. Very fun. And then ancient arrows, which are like a special ancient lost technology, which are highly effective against the ancient things walking around Hyrule. But realistically, they're just normal against most other things.
Okay, so probably wouldn't be too helpful in this fight. I don't see Sub-Zero as an ancient thing. If he were to
be battling,
I don't know, some sort of gods and the such, it would be really cool.
Potentially, but I don't think they're that useful.
No.
He also gains access to, in this game, in this iteration of Link, he gets access to a Sheikah Slate, which looks like a Nintendo Switch, and gives him access to some runes, some powers. These different runes he can change which one he's going to be essentially using, but that does leave him vulnerable. It is a real-time action to do that. If he knows what he's doing, it's a very quick and easy change. And the first one he's got is his classic bombs. He gets access to 2 different kinds of bombs. He gets access to a spherical bomb, which rolls down hills, and a cube bomb, which does not roll down hills.
When you say a cube, is that as in small or adorable?
Oh, cube.
Oh, cube. Yeah. Sorry.
A cute bomb. Which
that was why I was confused. I was like, but yes, okay, a cute bomb, that makes sense. Well, that doesn't roll down.
Yeah. He can have 1 bomb out of each type at a time. He can pick them up and lob them. They're highly affected by winds and other terrains, and he can detonate them on demand.
Can you also detonate them with bomb arrows in a chain reaction?
Yes, they will be detonated by anything, really. It's also worth knowing that other people can pick him up. Many a time have I thrown a bomb at a critter just for it to kick it back at me as I blow it up and to blow it up in my face. Yeah, it really hurts. So he has access to those bombs. There is a short cooldown on generating another bomb after it has been detonated. But there isn't a cooldown that affects both of them. So you could go round bomb, blow it up, square bomb, blow it up. And by that time, you'd probably have cooldown enough for a round bomb again.
Okay, so bombs are pretty quick.
Yeah. But obviously, you summon them in your hands. And you've got from. And if you're holding a bomb, he does hold them with two hands. He's not holding them with one.
I see. So while he's got a bomb out, he can't use his shield and sword.
Yeah, he would be
quite vulnerable.
So his other abilities, he gets access to Magnesis. Magnesis is a giant magnet, if you will. Again, while he's using this, he's kind of holding something too handily. He's not got his sword and shield out, which is worth noting. He can pick up any metal objects within range and haul them around like they were nothing. This ranges from a tiny little dagger to giant metal crates, and he can use them to slap people around or just put them where he wants to. As we all know, metal objects are highly susceptible to being struck by lightning. If there is a storm happening, and he can tempt the lightning to strike these metal objects, which can be useful.
I learned about this sort of magnet thing, well, like the ability to kind of control lightning strikes and stuff, when I was doing like the research for this episode. And it did make me think it's almost a shame that he's not fighting against Magneto. Like, that would be really cool to see, like, I mean, because they're both manipulation of metal, but in a very different, like, use. Magneto sort of would technically just use it to attack, whereas Link uses it to interact with the environment.
I think Magneto would be more powerful with member metal.
Yeah, absolutely. He probably would win. But, I mean, Link also has the other abilities and stuff. It was just an interesting thing. Anyway, tangent.
Okay, so next one he has is Cryonesis. I think it's called Cryonesis, it might be Cryosis. He has the ability to freeze water, like small pools and waterfalls and stuff. And it not only freezes it, but when it freezes it, it makes like a big pillar of ice for Link to be able to climb upon. This way he can travel across lakes, waterfalls even, because they all come out the side quite easily without having to swim. You can have up to three pillars at once. He can also use it to destroy his own pillars and certain enemy generated ice as well. But not all ice. There's like some ice which is up a mountain, which he can't do. He has to melt that, but there's certain ice that's thrown at him by certain enemies which he can.
So he can destroy enemy ice but not scenery ice.
I think almost it's like magically generated ice. Because the ice up like the mountains is natural ice, if you will.
So he can destroy magic ice. And that he can't do.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable assumption.
So, for the purposes of this, it is fair to say he could stop Sub-Zero's attacks with it.
Yeah, if he had a good enough aim.
Yeah.
Because it does require some aiming. So that's Cryolysis. Next, he has Stasis, which is probably going to be one of the bigger talking points. Stasis, he can freeze objects. They'll be frozen for a certain amount of time. During this time, he can attack them as much as he wants, and all that momentum is stored into the object. He can either wait for the timer to run out and then the object will fly off with whatever momentum it has, or he can release it manually. This could be used to great fun, like to freeze a boulder, smash the boulder a lot, blow it up a bit, jump on the boulder, and then get launched across the terrain. I've never managed to successfully do that, by the way.
Oh, I have seen several videos of things like that on YouTube.
Pretty cool. Worth noting, all of these runes, well, not all of them, but most of them can get upgraded. And when the stasis rune gets upgraded, he's able to freeze enemies in place as well for short periods of time. The smaller enemies get frozen for much longer. The bigger, more powerful enemies are more like one. I've read it as 1.5 seconds. It's not as long as it you think it is.
Yeah, we established for this fight that we would count Sub-Zero as the strongest possible enemy that can be affected. Because some of the bosses can't. So yes, he would be frozen for 1.5 seconds by the stasis.
And then that stasis has a fairly considerable cooldown on it. I mean, it's not like minutes, but you know, it's long enough that you're not just going to be able to spam it on someone.
Sure.
With the upgraded power for the bombs, they're just more powerful. And Magnesis might have a slightly longer range, but honestly, I'm not sure it does. He also has a camera, so he can take selfies. Very important. That is technically one of his runes.
Sure.
If he has the DLC, I'm not sure if he does or not. He gets access to a motorbike horse.
I can't believe I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, he gets a like machine robot motorbike horse.
That's really cool.
It is. We're giving
is it also called a
horse. No, I don't know what it's called. DLC motorbike It's called Master Cycle Zero.
Of course it is.
Hang on, I'll show you a picture because it does look... This will do. This is a good enough picture. It looks like this.
I mean, that is really cool.
It's pretty cool.
Right. I mean, certainly, I feel like that's how he should arrive to the fight. Like, can you use it much in battle? Same with the horses, actually. So they have much of a combat effect, or are they just forgetting around?
You can ride around on them and you can attack off of them. You can either, you know, shoot arrows off them. You can use swords off them. If you're using something like a pike or a big long weapon like a halberd or something, then that is extra effective off of horseback as well. And it's harder for critters to hit you, but equally it's harder for you to steer the bike slash horse if you're fighting. So what else have we got? That's his runes. Because this is a post-dungeon, I've gone around the world and saved everyone, I think. He also has access to the four champion abilities, which you get from releasing the champion spirits from their capturedness.
You get from questing. Quest abilities for questing.
You get from questing. So these are Mipha's Grace, Daruk's Protection, Revali's Gale, and Ubersu's Fury. I can words. Mipha's Grace. This one is a passive ability. It just means when Link gets knocked out for the first time, he gets fully regenerated on full health. And these all have pretty long regen times. They're not the kind of stuff that you would get during a single fight again.
See, that's a really powerful ability, though. It does essentially mean that he'll have to be beaten twice.
Yes, it does. It's pretty useful. But it's important to know that let's pretend you get killed by getting knocked down a mountain, right? It's not where your body ends up. Let's pretend your first hit of you rolling down the mountain, you get killed. You regenerate and then carry on rolling down the mountain.
I see.
It's literally an instant you have health again, but it doesn't change anything else.
So, I mean, if he was to die mid-tack, he would wake up being hurt, or so to speak?
Yes.
Okay.
It's an important caveat. Mm-hmm. Next, he has Daruk's Protection. This one is like a shield that when he's focused on an enemy for parrying and all that malarkey, he'll have a visible red barrier in front of him. And if any strikes that hit that, and this includes things from the terrain like lightning as well, will be dispersed. And that will happen 3 times before it is used. You have Revali's Gale. On this one, Link will crouch to the ground, charge for a bit, and then he'll soar up into the air to get a better view of things. This will also help him allow him to use his paraglider, which I'll get onto shortly. And then Obosa's Fury, you know how I mentioned the charge-up attack with his sword? If he does that, it also just summons lightning from the sky and swaps everything, and it's disgusting.
Can you combine that with his magnet thing to do like a...
No.
Okay.
No. But that does take a reasonable amount of time to charge. I want to say, off the top of my head, 2 seconds.
Okay.
Off the top of my head. Something like that. Maybe 2.5. Something like that. So finally, he has access to a wealth of ingredients lying around the world of Hyrule, which he can cook into disgusting, dubious food or into delicious, tasty food and elixirs used for gaining advantages. Most of the time, let's pretend that you're not overzealous chef. You're only going to cook. He's only going to have things cooked, prepared, if he knows what he's going to do, because that's what I do. I don't have time to cook things. Cooking takes so long. For the record, I cook a lot at home. I mean, in games, I don't have time for cooking.
I can cook for hours at home, but 10-minute video game cooking, no, it takes so long.
And it's like, who would want to, you know, you tidy up the house, right? And you're like, I can do it, I've got time for it, but you'd wouldn't want to do that in a game, would you?
I mean, some people do. There are tidying simulators.
There's that Visceral cleanup game. That looks quite fun, actually.
Sure, well, that is a prime example.
But that's not tidying like a house and dusting, is it? That's cleaning up, like... an alien attack where everyone's been killed and slaughtered.
But just interestingly, I was actually having this conversation with my sister-in-law recently, and she was saying she would absolutely love a tidying simulator. She would rather do that than tidy in real life.
I mean, at least you don't get dirty in a tidying simulator.
Okay, because I can't remember what it was. Like, there was some other... We were playing... I think she was playing Detroit Become Human, which is obviously like a interactive media thing, and she was very much doing... some medial task on that, and she was like, I really enjoyed just doing medial tasks in video games that I wouldn't actually do in real life.
Fair enough.
So, I mean, you know, it might be a small market, but I'm sure there is a small market. And I bet you there's people on Breath of the Wild who have just done, like, a day of, this is my cooking, so I'm going to play it for an hour and just do cooking.
Probably. No, probably are. But anyway, yeah, you can cook foods and stuff. You can eat them during the battle. It's nifty.
Can you cook in combat?
No. Unless you happen to be fighting near a cooking pot.
Okay.
And then you wish to make yourself incredibly vulnerable while you...
Sure, that's it. You would just get like the absolute crap kicked out of you while you were trying to...
Excuse me, young man. Let me just put these fish together with these delicious mushrooms.
Yeah, I'm just going to put this on to simmer, then kill this monster, and then I'll be back when it's done.
But all the food cooks instantaneously.
Wait, you don't have time to do something that cooks instantaneously.
Shut up. There's a little freshy seed, it bounces around in the pot and sounds healthy, and then you've got to select these same ingredients again to cook the same thing again.
Oh, you can't bulk cook.
No, that's the thing. I wish it had a repeat cook button, so you could do exactly the same recipe again, just like, you know, assuming you had the ingredients. That's what I think it's missing.
I think also, as well, what would be really fun is if it had, like, you know when you do your grocery shopping online, and it's like, oh, we were out of chicken nuggets today, so we replaced them with fish fingers.
Yes.
And, like Breath of the Wild should have that. I'd like to make this meal again. Oh, but you don't have any mushrooms, so instead we're going to use some other random ass thing. That'd be really fun.
That would be quite funny. Do you accept this substitution? No. Good. Yeah, and then finally, Link, he has a... I don't know, this is kind of meta, but I think it's written down in the notes, and I think it's an important way to decipher how he kind of works. We're not going like super meta on these things. We're not taking like actual... I don't think we're taking actual like damage to health bars and stuff into account. Like on a mathematical...
No, I don't
think counting. So. Yeah, but it's how he works. It's a fundamental part of how he works. So he can run, swim, and he can climb pretty much most things, but it uses up stamina wheel that he has. If he runs out of stamina, he can't really run, and he gets a bit out of breath, and it takes a while for the stamina bar to regenerate. And the final thing was his paraglider, which I mentioned with the Bardi's Gale. He has a paraglider. He gets it from an old man ghost. Spoilers. Not that I haven't already horrifically spoiled the game. And he can use that to just float around for as long as he really wants. From the paraglider, he can fire arrows and drop bombs. Interesting, if he fires arrows while in the air, he goes into like kind of slow motion.
So he gets like bullet time?
He gets bullet time, but at the negative cost that he uses considerable more stamina than if he were to just not do it. So he can use a lot of his stamina. Oh, and for some reason, although he can swim, if he's in the water without stamina, he drowns.
That makes sense. If you get tired swimming, you would drown.
Yeah, you absolutely would. So very often, if you're paragliding above water and then you go into arrow time and then you forget that you run out of stamina, you plop into the water below, and then that's you lost some health because you drown.
Damn. And then you'd regenerate underwater and drown again, and it'd be awful.
No, you'd get teleported by the mysterious powers that be onto the last place that's closest to where you were.
The Halo Guardians.
The Halo Guardians, yeah. but that is a summary of Link.
Cool. Well, Sub-Zero then, like we were specifically doing Breath of the Wild Link, and I'm aware I'm horrifically probably going to pronounce his name wrong, but we are doing specifically Quai Lang as Sub-Zero, who is the second person to take on the mantle of the Sub-Zero.
So which game's he from, if you were to do it by game?
Well, in like the new iteration, he is from the second half of Mortal Kombat 9 and Mortal Kombat 10.
Oh, so was that like a reboot?
Yeah, 9 was a reboot. Well, it was a sort of reboot, but it also continues on because it was basically Mortal Kombat 8 was Armageddon. So then 9, the opening movie to 9 was kind of how 8 ended, and it was basically every single character was killed except Raiden. And I want to say Shao Kahn, I don't know, it was Raiden and somebody. And Raiden was just about to die and then sort of used all of his powers to send a message back in time to himself from the first game to be like, hey, change how things have happened or everyone's going to die.
Oh, okay.
So then MK9 was kind of also chronologically the same as MK1, but then obviously it started an alternate timeline, which is why everything is very different.
Oh, okay.
And also, it does suggest that whatever he did work, because in MKX, the majority of it is set 25 years after MK1, whereas I'm pretty sure MK Armageddon wasn't 25 years later before everybody died. So I think he did a good job.
Good work.
So, like, well done, Raiden.
Well.
Yeah, but in the sort of, I guess, original timeline, I think this Sub-Zero takes over in Mortal Kombat 3. It might be 2. 2 or 3.
Okay.
He's certainly the one that is there more prominently. That is why I chose him. Because the first one gets supposedly killed and then comes back as sort of a, I don't know. He comes back and basically is the character Noob Saibot.
Oh, yeah.
That's what the first Sub-Zero is. He becomes him because he's like sort of, I'm not sure, I think he's undead, or he's certainly messed up from almost dying or something.
I'd be messed up if I almost died.
Yeah, you know, it's not ideal, is it?
It's not ideal.
Anyway, so we're playing a second Sub-Zero, is cool. Essentially what I'm getting at. He is a very powerful cryomancer. He primarily attacks with his ice magic, and he is such a good power and a driving force for goodness, because he's also a good guy, that he has become the grandmaster of the Lin Kuei, which is his like clan of ninjas that he is a part of. Okay. There have been a couple of slight moments where Sub-Zero has been on the bad team, but predominantly he has been a good guy. He always sort of strives towards peace and the defense of Earthrealm. I mean, they had the bit in MKX, you know, sort of Mortal Kombat spoilers for people who haven't played it, where it was like the massive development in his character where he invites sort of Scorpion over and then they sort of sit down and talk out their age-long rivalry and have tea together and create peace for like the first time ever. And it's a massive revelation that he's sort of actually trying to resolve things non-violently and be a good guy.
How did he invite him over? What did he put on the invite?
I don't know.
Because if it wasn't get over here, for tea.
I mean, I feel like that would have been... Had Scorpion invited him over, that certainly would have been the case.
Just, I'm not sure if that would make Scorpion feel...
Right. The most famous Sub-Zero move there is the Ice Ball, where he just fires a projectile ball of ice, and it freezes an opponent if it comes into contact with them.
How fast is this ball?
It's pretty fast.
Pretty fast. Okay, that's good enough.
I'd say, like... Probably about as fast as if you threw anything.
Okay, yeah.
You know, throwing speed. If you like lobbed like a sort of tennis ball or a football or something, however fast it would go. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I'm just, you know, just trying to decipher whether it's one of these slow moving things across the screen, or whether it's the kind of like you really need to be on point to
You'd have to be on point, I think. You'd have to really be ready for it.
Sure, no problem.
I mean, the other move he's sort of had pretty consistently throughout the entire of Mortal Kombat is his slide, where he does like a sliding kick, so he can sort of travel from a standing point across the map. I'd say he can probably go 5 or 6 foot doing this, mm-hmm. and it's a low blow, so obviously you have to be ready for it with like a low block or a jump to be able to not be hit by it. And it's one of the fastest moves in Mortal Kombat history is his slide kick. He's just sort of like, and he's there. And I don't know, because well, you're not sort of all up on your Mortal Kombat necessarily. So I don't know if you know in like 9 and X, you can do enhanced versions of your special moves.
I did not know.
So you know the X-ray moves?
Yes.
Right. So you know you have like you have to build up the 3 bars to do that. Mm-hmm. At the cost of 1 bar, you can make a special move more special.
Okay.
And his slide one is particularly good to enhance because it means after doing the low kick, he then does an uppercut, but it flips his opponent over him. So if he is cornered, he can do that to put them in the corner and be on the outside.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, that's a really powerful sort of enhancement. So those are probably like his 2 most famous moves. But he has a whole plethora of others across the series.
Mm-hmm.
So he also has the Ice Burst, where he can punch the floor and it creates a shockwave of ice damaging anything that's nearby him and staggering them.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if he were to enhance that, it then means that while they're staggered, he can instantly follow up with a combo because he doesn't have his cooldown time, which is cool. He has the Ice Clone, and please note the clone is spelt with a K.
Everything in Mortal Kombat spelt with a K.
Only hard Cs. Although, they put a thing on Twitter recently that Ed Boon put up saying that in Mortal Kombat 11, it's going to have custom character creator.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all done with Cs. And I actually saw some random internet person tweet him and be like, surely that should be spelled with a K. That was quite funny.
And he was like, my God, he's absolutely right.
Yeah, he basically went, oh, I'm really bad. Oh, it's really bad that we missed that typo. I mean, I don't know if it will be changed to K's in the actual game or not, but we can all hope.
It should be. Absolutely should be.
Yes. But yeah, so it's Ice Clone, where he creates a likeness of himself and jumps back, puts the clone in front of him. And then if his opponent touches the clone, they get frozen. So it's like a good thing to do. When your opponent has you pinned, you can quickly put it out. And then while they're attacking, they instantly get frozen.
How similar? Does it look like the same as him, or does it look like it's obviously made of ice?
It is obviously made of ice. It looks like an ice sculpture of it.
Okay, yeah.
So, I mean, it is clearly made of ice, but it's more of the point that if you are doing it sort of whilst they're mid-combo, if you can get it out, which is hard to do, but if you can. Or alternatively, you can just make an ice clone and then throw it at them as a projectile.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. The other thing you can do is technically one of Sub-Zero's brutalities is to kill somebody by doing this. And I feel like, as we will get on to, we have sort of unofficially decided that potentially we won't include fatalities as a thing that Sub-Zero can do, because he can only do them on a defeated opponent. And it would be somewhat of an unfair thing if he just suddenly busted out a fatality as his first move in the fight.
I think the point of a fatality slash brutality is that they're obviously a really powerful thing that they can do, but they put themselves in a vulnerable position if they were to try and do them on someone who was active and alert. I think that's the idea.
Well, no, this is the thing, because brutalities can only be done while your opponent is still alive. Oh, they okay. are mid-combat finishing moves.
Oh, so if you finish them with a certain move. Okay.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, there are various requirements for each one. Mm. But one of Sub-Zero's brutalities is actually by making the ice clone and then using his ice burst to smash the clone and impale his opponent with many shards of ice. Okay. So, although we don't necessarily need to count that as a killing move, I think it's worth including the fact that he can break his clones into projectile shards of ice.
Sure.
He can create a frozen aura, which covers him in a layer of frost, meaning whilst he's blocking, he doesn't take block damage.
Okay.
So that's a good defensive move. He's got a barrier of frost where he creates a wall of ice in front of him, and then again, anyone who touches that gets frozen. Again, it's more of like a defensive thing. He can freeze the ground, which makes the ground slippery, which causes his target to slip and be unable to move properly or attack, which allows him to beat them up. And those are sort of like his main moves he's had over the series.
Sweet.
I know, again, like I just sort of said, we weren't planning on using fatalities and animalities, but just as a example of his strength, I have a list of like the fatalities he has used.
Yeah, I feel it's important to note.
Yeah, and also if he wins, one of these could be done. Yeah. Interestingly though, say as we're using the second Sub-Zero, although I think he does have variants of it later on, but the initial Sub-Zero, his fatality on Mortal Kombat 1, was considered the most controversial thing ever in gaming at the time it came out.
Yeah, it was.
And it's basically the reason that games now have age ratings on them, is because of Sub-Zero's fatality in Mortal Kombat 1.
Good work, Mortal Kombat. We have lots of old things to thank old games for.
Right, so here's a list of all the fatalities this Sub-Zero has ever used in any Mortal Kombat games. So he's uppercutted a person so hard the top half of their body explodes.
That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. He's used his ice ball as an explosive,
okay.
Which I think is ludicrous. He's managed to breathe ice on them, causing them to shatter.
Yeah.
He's frozen an opponent, then ripped them in half.
Oh, lovely.
Mm. He's uppercutted someone and then created a spike of ice for them to land on.
Alright, yeah.
He's managed to uppercut someone's head off. Ah, there you go. And then here's the variant on the MK1 fatality, but he's ripped someone's head off with their spine still attached. He's managed to grab someone's spine and then from his hold on their spine, pull their whole skeleton out of their skin, I guess.
That's more impressive than anything else.
Yeah, it is. I know. He didn't break a single bone doing it. It's just mad. I think really that's an art. That's finesse. Like, if I have to die horrifically, I hope it's, like, via that.
You'd like to imagine it'd be over pretty quickly if that happened.
Probably, yeah. Well, I imagine the initial him sticking his hand in my back and tugging on my spine probably would hurt a lot and wouldn't instantly kill me. But I imagine on the rip,
yeah,
you'd pretty instantly go. Oh, man. I mean, maybe for another time, but that sounds like a potential fun bonus thing. It's just what Mortal Kombat fatality do you want to be killed by? He's stamped on someone's head hard enough to pop it.
Oh my, skulls are pretty strong.
Like I say, I just think it's worth noting the fatalities because it shows just how strong a chap he is. He's managed to freeze an opponent to the floor and then pull up from the waist and just sort of tear them in half.
He really has a thing about removing people from their torsos from their
Yeah, he does. I'm sure in Mortal Kombat 9 and X, he had a big thing on breaking spines. Spines is very much his thing. In fact, his next one is he grabs someone's spine and pulls down so hard that their skull comes out with the spine. So, like, from pulling their back, he pulls their skull down and out of their body. And then he beats them to death with their skull while it's attached to their spine.
I mean, I'd like to think they were already dead.
Probably, but, you know, it's Mortal Kombat, so maybe not. There's one, he's just created a bed of spikes and pushed them onto it.
That seems like a really, that's like a Sub-Zero who's like a bit tired, wants to go to bed early. He's like, I'm not doing any effort today. Yeah.
I do believe once he pushed them onto it, he then jumped on them. So they really sort of went through all the icy spikes. And then finally, back to the spines, his MKX one is he freezes their insides and then snaps their spine in half.
Lovely.
And then I'm pretty sure animalities aren't considered canon other than Liu Kang's and Night Wolf's. But in MK3, his animality was he turned into a bear and just ate them.
Was it a polar bear?
I believe it was, yes.
If it wasn't, I would have slapped whoever made him not a polar bear.
So, speaking of being upset by animalities, so the most famous confusion of animalities is what do you think Scorpion turns into for his animality?
Well, I mean, it's obviously not going to be a scorpion, is it?
It isn't, and you know why? It's because Shiva turns into a scorpion.
What does a scorpion turn into?
Scorpion turns into a penguin.
That doesn't even relate.
I know, right? He turns into a penguin that lays an egg that explodes on them.
Mortal Kombat, what were you thinking?
People think that is perhaps the worst animality, possibly just because of Scorpion's massive popularity and then having a really weird comical... You know, like, I think different characters could have got away with, like, a comedy one and it would have been fine, but Scorpion's sort of so badass that it seems weird.
Yeah.
It is also potentially worth mentioning that this Sub-Zero has the dragon amulet, which just sort of vastly improves his skills and makes his magic stronger. I believe in canon he has that item.
Okay.
So he's quite a formidable opponent.
I believe I missed something out that was a bit, that's kind of important for Link. If he does a perfect dodge from someone, essentially gets like an attack of opportunity where it slows down time and he gets like to do a flurry of blows on them.
That's cool.
And equally can get a perfect parry with his shield as well. If he perfectly parries, you know, a physical attack, they'll be not stunned, but vulnerable because they're in a recovery stance, if you will. And it can even be used to deflect incoming laser beams.
That's cool.
From Guardians. I remembered that when you were talking about things. I was like, that's probably kind of important.
So on a similar note, actually, to parrying, again, I talked about the build-up bars. I can't remember what they're called. You build it up for either landing powerful attacks or for being hit is the things that build it up. So although you can spend the one bar to enhance a ability, you can spend two bars to instantly break an opponent's combo and move them away so you can then start attacking.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were sort of saying, you know, Link could do his parry and then start his flurry of blows, and then if Sub-Zero had two bars by that point, could be like, no, actually, stop.
No, actually, please desist.
Actually, I'd rather you didn't do that. Gend combat! Interestingly, a thing we should mention, as obviously Link is a skilled swordsman, Sub-Zero is also a skilled swordsman, because using his cryomancy, he has over the series made both swords and warhammers out of ice.
Mm-hmm.
Like the swords he can do sort of lots of cool combos with, and the hammer is basically just big damage, big slow damage. His sword he can even do impalement with, so he can just sort of leave it impaled in somebody to cause them just to consistently bleed out and lose health.
Okay.
But obviously if he does that, he can't use the sword anymore. Which seems silly, really, because you think he'd just make another one, but in game mechanics he can't use the sword anymore.
Good.
So he's also quite skilled with weapons himself, and it would be interesting to see the two clash with just swords in their battle. The other thing that I think will give Sub-Zero an advantage is he doesn't have a stamina bar. And none of his attacks have cooldown, so he can just keep going.
We shall see when we come to have a little bit of a debatey wait.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Don't necessarily tell me which one, but I was just wondering if you have an idea of who you think is going to win.
I do.
You do? Okay. Because I do too, and I just wonder if they're, well, I wonder if they're the same.
I think it'll be close-ish.
Now it's time to determine where the fight will be taking place using the Die of Death! Yeah, I wish we had like a better budget and like cool sound effects.
Our budget is zero.
Yeah, I know. So how the Die of Death works is I've got a D20. I've come up with 20 random locations fight may take place. I'm going to roll the dice. Whatever number it lands on, that is the location they're going to fight in. Some of the locations are generic real places. Some of them are quite specific fictional places. Whatever place they will play on will be removed from the list and replaced with something different for future episodes. So no two fights will happen in the same place. Unless people particularly want a location to come back, in which case let us know, which we'll get to at the end, and we can do that. Okay, but now time for the first ever fight is going to happen in a hospital.
I love it.
What a horrific place for the first fight to take place.
So, I mean, right, there are a couple of things to establish here. Is what time of year is it? Is it now?
Yeah, on recording, it's the 6th of January, so let's go with that.
Okay, so it's wintery. We're in the northern hemisphere, so it's winter in January. And I imagine there's probably a reasonable amount. I don't imagine it's super full, but I imagine it's like on the busier end.
You'd have just missed a sort of rush of people hurting themselves or getting drunk over Christmas and New Year.
Mm.
But you'd still probably have quite a lot of cold and flu.
Yeah, I agree. How big is this hospital? It's not that important, really. What's important is that most of the rooms aren't very... Like, don't get me wrong, your reception will be quite spacious and some of the entrance corridors will be spacious, but none of them are particularly large.
No, most of it will be quite cramped and filled with innocent people.
It's a very closed quarters combat. It's not going to be the kind of place where you're going to be able to get a good distance advantage on something.
No. Interestingly, that changes who I think is going to win.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting because that means I think you fought differently to me.
Okay.
But we'll go with it. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
So we should probably decide, like, are these two people just waiting in the waiting room? Then they've argued at the queue and for some reason they're going into like, you know, some massive ruckus, or do they just walk past each other and they just know?
Well, you know, you set up the canon. So probably we're in hospital due to being bullied and the such.
Okay, yeah.
And then they've obviously, as our protector, have come to visit us and make sure we're okay. And then realised from the next bed over, because obviously we're in the beds next to each other, that they've gone, hey, wait, you're the guy bullying my guy, but you're the guy bullying my guy. Let's fight. And obviously, you know, out of nowhere, a voice would just be like, round one, fight, because it's Mortal Kombat.
Round one suggests it's going to be... That's an interesting point. Does the Sub-Zero have to be knocked out twice as well? There's like multiple rounds.
No, I would assume not, because in sort of Mortal Kombat cinematics, there's never more than one round, and certainly in MKX on the story mode, you only ever did one round with most characters.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of like a boxing round in the game, where it's like, oh, you obviously had the advantage in that round, you get a point.
Sure. So yeah, I think in the case of a real-time fight, it would be right, a single round.
So we're in close quarters. I have a very strong feeling that Link would automatically go onto a defensive approach.
Okay.
Get out his Daruk's protection, because he's never seen a U before, Sub-Zero before. He doesn't know what they do. He's not stupid. He is courageous, but he's not stupid. So he's not just going to go all in straight away. I think that would be a bad move for him.
Okay. You see, I would imagine Sub-Zero would probably start with an ice ball initially. That's probably his go-to. It's like, an opponent.
Okay,
let's
freeze it. Makes a lot of sense. So you think Sub-Zero would immediately go for an ice ball?
Yeah. Especially seeing that Link was going on the defensive. Like, if Link had instantly gone for an attack, he'd probably more likely go for a defensive move. Because, again, I don't think Sub-Zero isn't particularly stupid.
Well, this ice ball is probably going to make contact with Link, let's be honest. It's very close.
Sure. That's it. We're about a meter away.
It's just going to bounce harmlessly off through protection. But that's count one down. Sad. There's a lot of metal in here, but I don't think any of it's really any use. Magnesis. I'm just kind of running through what he's got. Bombs are a terrible idea while we're both nearby.
Yes. Also, well, that's the other thing. Would Link care about hurting innocent civilians?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, he's not going to start setting off explosives.
Yeah, he's the hero of time. He's not the, I'm just going to kill everyone. In fact, it's impossible for him to hurt innocent people. His sword passes straight through them as if by magic. I believe that's just a dev way of saying, don't do this.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, that's just because it's Nintendo and you can't just go up hacking.
Can you imagine, like, this is a complete side note, like, a Legend of Zelda Fallout where you could just hurt anyone?
That'd be pretty fun.
Oh, pretty cool, wouldn't it?
There's probably a mod somewhere so you can play Fallout with the Master Sword.
Anyway, Link, I imagine, will try and back up and get out of this room, because this room is not going to prove advantageous at all. He's pretty good at running. Would he just run out? Because he's either got to keep focus on Sub-Zero, but he can keep his defense up, or he's just got to make a run for it. I think a hospital room isn't that big. I think he'd make a run for it.
I think if he tried to make a run for it, Sub-Zero would just freeze the floor and make him sort of slip.
Make him just fall over.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I imagine that he'd probably go to make a swift exit, and you think he's going to be slipped up. That's reasonable. Like, how successful is this slipping up, do you think? I think he'll still get out the door, but maybe on his ass.
Yeah, I could go with that. I mean... Traditionally in the game, sort of if you do the floor slip, they stay standing and go, whoa, 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 and like can't move and like very comically slip on the spot. But I think practically speaking, yes, it'd probably just slide out the room.
Slide out the room.
But maybe like, yeah, just sort of face plant into the wall, like in the corridor or something.
Oh, it's not ideal, is it? No. Link's a pretty agile man. I think he'd be able to recover from that. Not like instantaneously, but you know, fairly well.
Sure. So yeah, he could probably be ready for something by the time Sub-Zero got to the door.
Yeah, like, you know.
But he'd have just taken gets a up, mild
damage. Gets his sword ready and his shield ready for a bit of a...
Barney.
A bit of what?
A bit of a Barney.
A bit of a Barney, yeah, a bit of a Barney.
Okay.
Sub-Zero, how... He doesn't care that much, does he? He's going to destroy anything and everything.
He'd probably be quite happy to destroy scenery and stuff, but he would care about innocence. Because, like I say, he is predominantly a good person and does try and create peace.
Yeah.
So he would be full force willing to be incredibly violent and lethal to his opponent, so Link, but would try his best to not harm innocents.
Okay. Well, he can punch a wall.
Sure.
I mean, that is pretty common for people to destroy the scenery in Mortal Kombat, isn't it?
Yeah, usually by throwing your opponent through it. I don't know if he'd necessarily just punch through the wall for the sake of it. I think he would come out the door.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, don't get me wrong, if he was sort of Goro or something, he'd probably just punch through the wall. Because why not?
Yeah, Goro absolutely would.
Yeah, he'd punch through the wall, throwing like patience at him, which is like, ah.
It's just you know how like General Grievous uses four lightsabers? You just use four patience.
Yeah, no, I'd absolutely believe he would, because why not? And especially if, you know, Link was trying to not hurt people, that would be a very effective technique.
So I think old Linky boy, he's going to try and get you with some, like, you know, he'd try, I say you, but you're not Sub-Zero. We're both in bed.
We are both in bed. I mean, I'm in bed, literally, in real life.
I am not literally in bed, but I am only 2 foot from it.
Sure. It's just because my bedroom's the quietest room in my house.
Ah, it's just because I'm...
Actually, I probably my spare room. I should have gone there.
I'm in the only room. I mean, I'm not. I don't only have one room. But yeah, go for some couple of basic sword attacks and stuff. I don't know how well they'd hit. You'd probably get a couple of hits in.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. But I think then seeing like the whole sword and shield thing and having been potentially cut a little bit, I think he'd realise that he's not going to be able to go in with like fists and stuff. So I reckon at this point he'd create his own sword, sort of do sword combat.
Okay.
And then go into sword-to-sword combat because that has a better chance of survival.
Yeah, that's fair.
It is also, as you were sort of saying, when Link uses his various abilities and stuff, it removes his hands and the such. Sub-Zero can use all of his abilities while still holding a sword.
Oh, that's good for him.
It is good for him.
So how good is Sub-Zero with a sword?
I mean, pretty good. I'd say he's ultimately a ninja, isn't he? And they're all quite well-trained with their various weapons and stuff.
Hmm.
And he is a leader of a ninja clan, so you'd like to presume he is one of the best.
Okay, I'm going to throw this out there. I reckon he's probably got less finesse than Link, but he's got more strength.
Probably, yes. I see Link as a more agile but weaker person.
Yes, I do too. So I imagine that they'd be trading off some blows. If Link's on the defensive, it's probably not going to be good because it's harder to throw off a more powerful thing. I think he'd be able to dodge a couple of things. I think there'd be a couple of blows hit by either people.
Sure. Okay. But I guess Link is the one up against the wall.
Is he up against the wall?
Well, he'd sort of slid into a wall, I guess. I assumed he would have his back to a wall while he was facing the door.
Okay, well, I kind of assumed that they'd come out into a T, into a corridor the other way.
Okay, no, that's fine. So they're battling down the corridor as opposed to across the corridor.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was my assumption.
No, that's fine. I guess then it's worth deciding, would this corridor end in, like, a ward or, like, a reception area?
Let's go for reception area.
Okay, so they both take a few more hits and end up in a reception area. So I guess now it's a bit more open, but also much more filled with now probably quite scared people.
I'd be pretty terrified if there are two sword fighting people coming in.
Yeah, especially if one of them had a sword made of ice. That's like...
Out of interest, who's the one? I guess Sub-Zero is pushing Link back.
Yeah, I think Link would be backing.
Yeah, I don't think there's any incentive for Link to try and get further away. But I do think the openness is going to help him.
Yes, probably.
Because there's more room for shuffling around and getting behind someone who's presumably, where he's more agile, a bit more nicking and, you know, room.
Sure. Potentially then, if Sub-Zero is finding that he isn't making as much headway as he wanted with the sword combat,
mm-hmm.
and obviously he'd see the door or opening before Link as he's facing that way.
Yeah, so true.
So he might try and go for a slide move, knock him over and into the area so he's on the floor.
Okay, so even though he gets into the area, he starts at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much that Link might be able to do about that. He's got good reactions, but he's never met this man before. Going into the perfect flurry of blows, that takes practice against enemies, and he's not got the practice down at all. The Sub-Zero, because he's never met the man before.
Sure, and like I say, it's one of the quickest moves there is, and you can do it from a standing start. So it just sort of like bam, and your legs are gone.
Yeah, okay. So Link's pushed back onto the floor and has to recover. It's obviously bad. And I guess if he's recovering, he'll be spamming the shit out of the Witch Protection for when he gets up next. So he can't get take anything while he's already down.
No.
Let's pretend that Link is somewhat in the next room, but not in the center of it.
Yeah.
Well, how would Sub-Zero approach a guarded but recovering Link?
They'd probably try and freeze him again with the ice ball.
Has he entered the room? Is he staying in the other room?
Probably be like in the doorway. Okay. So he has the opportunity to retreat if needs be, but he can pursue, you know, keeping his options open.
I think there's a bit more distance than last time, so I think Link would probably have a good go at dodging him.
Sure, but he is still just like getting up off the floor. And
yes, I think he'd have a good go, but fail.
Yeah.
But I think he'd gain valuable experience.
Sure, but that would be like his second free hit from his ability gone.
It is. It would indeed. And it would go, hoorah, because it does. I imagine lots of scared people would start running out the door.
Yeah, at this point, I imagine people are evacuating. There's potentially some sort of security alarm going off.
Security, please take care of the two swordsmen. No,
yeah, I mean, yeah, I was going to say, if you were hospital security, you'd be like, hell no.
Did hospital security have guns?
No. Not in this country, certainly.
No, it's true. I was going to say, otherwise, both of us might get shot.
Yes, that is a thing.
And by us, I mean Lincoln Sub-Zero.
Obviously, we're in bed.
Yeah, we're there. Victoria then. So you're in a doorway, or Sub-Zero's in a doorway. But don't, like, long-range combat is difficult for Link. It's not his forte in a closed environment, especially. Like, if it's open, there's a lot of stuff for him to do, especially if he can get into the air. But in this environment, it's not the best for him.
No. So do you think he would try a bow and arrow shot, or do you think he'd try and close the distance?
No, I think he'd probably go for the closing distance. He is, after all, he does, in other canons, have the Triforce of Courage.
That's true.
So I think he'd go for closing the distance approach.
In which case, I imagine Sub-Zero would wait until his attack is imminent and then probably use, like, create a barrier of frost in front of him to try and sort of freeze Link as he attacks as a counter.
Okay, yeah. I don't imagine Link would do much against that.
No.
To start with, he certainly hasn't seen that before. He might be able to prevent it in the future, but not this time.
No. So then Link would be frozen, and thus Sub-Zero would hit him with some sort of reasonable sword-based combo.
Hit for massive damage.
Yeah. Or, no, I was going to say, or potentially he'd impale him, but I don't think he would, because I think the sword would be more useful fighting another swordsman than the impalement.
Mm. How much of a combo can you get before the ice breaks and the person is defrosted? It's a reasonable amount, isn't it?
Well, technically, upon the first hit, the ice stops, but obviously, they're then staggered for you to finish your combo, unless they have any sort of parry or counterattack or breaker ready.
Yeah.
Although I don't think a parry or counterattack would work necessarily, because they're frozen. Sure. So, you know, I think it's fair to say he can probably do, like, 4 or 5 hits. Maybe 4 hits.
Okay, and how much pushing power do they have? Are they going to push Link back quite far? Or is he just going to just kind of...
No, he'd probably stay within sort of fighting distance. He might possibly be knocked to the floor or something.
Fighting distance is quite a big distance.
Yeah.
Right. Link's not going to be happy about that.
No, probably not. I don't imagine many people are.
But I think he's seen Frost quite a bit. He's under the impression you're an icy man. He would switch to...
I'm getting your whole deal now. You're an ice guy.
An ice guy. I think he'd push back a bit, just a bit. I think he'd go for a stasis.
Yeah, retaliate was the whole frozen thing.
You freeze me in ice, I'll freeze you in time.
Because I imagine this would largely be what this fight would boil down to. What's easier to hit with, ice or stasis?
So he'd probably go for that. If you're in a doorway in a narrow corridor,
yeah,
it's not going to be a hard affair for him to knock track on it. The question is, after that, does he want to go for a cheeky bomb or just some swords?
Well, you say that. I think if you're going to then hit and the momentum builds up when that sort of catapults Sub-Zero down the corridor.
I'm trying to remember if momentum builds up in creatures. I don't think momentum builds up in creatures. I think it's only still objects.
Oh, okay.
Which is a shame.
Hmm. But even so, I mean, you know, it will do a reasonable amount of damage.
Yeah, so you can use that to gain the correct grounding, get a couple of hits in. I don't think he'll go for a bomb, because if he blows up the hospital, that's not good. But anyway,
yeah, absolutely.
I don't think bombs are applicable. And he's probably going to go back on guard and retreat into the more open area during Sub-Zero's recovery, because it's probably in a more advantageous position for him to be in.
Sure. But I guess then it would be Sub-Zero would probably just try and ice ball him again, because as long as that's sort of his best thing while people have range is to try and freeze them and then close the gap and attack.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think Link would have got enough distance to be able to dodge this ball, but I don't think it'll be a perfect dodge. I don't think he's got that down yet.
Okay, so do you think in his dodge, so although he doesn't get frozen, like, would his dodge be enough time for Sub-Zero to close the gap between them?
Yeah, he's just doing like a side hop dodge.
So then he'd probably start going in with his sword again.
We're back to swordsman finesse again. Sub-Zero is on the attack to start, so it's kind of a 50-50 where it goes, isn't it? We're a bit more open. I think that both parties are probably going to take a couple of hits.
But I think maybe this time Sub-Zero might come out better because Link was less ready for him. Like last time it was prepared. And like you say, I think Sub-Zero would just overpower him eventually.
Yeah, okay. I feel it's reasonable to say that Sub-Zero might even get a fairly decent hit in that would knock Link back and you'd see a weird blue halo fly around him.
Okay, so you think like he's had a health bar down now?
I think he probably would have had a health bar down, yeah.
Sure, I mean, Sub-Zero's probably not all that handy. He's probably been hit by a sword a few times.
And obviously he's recovering. He's going to spam that Daruk's protection again to save himself from whatever Sub-Zero comes with next.
I feel like he might try and, just because he hasn't done one, he's probably starting to realise that Link's sort of wising up to a lot of his moves.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd probably try and do something he hasn't done yet.
Okay.
So he might do like ice burst while Link recovering. He punches the floor basically and sends like a shockwave of ice out.
Okay. This would obviously hit my lovely barrier shield and and then that red veneer around around Link is gone.
Also, the fact that hasn't worked would probably give Link an opportunity to go in for an attack.
Okay. Does it take quite a while to, is it quite a slow charging or recovering ability?
It's got a bit of a recover to it, maybe like half a second or something. Like, not a long one, but enough that Link could probably start something.
Okay, yeah, so he'd be able to leap in and this time go on the offensive.
That's it. So yeah, Sub-Zero wouldn't necessarily be hit instantly, but would have to take the defensive, which would be an interesting change of pace for this fight, I think.
Link on the offensive with a sword is going to be in a better position than on the defensive. I think he'd have, you know, whereas on the defensive, because I imagine Link's probably a better swordman all round, but obviously weaker, it would be more like 60-40 to Sub-Zero if he's on the offensive. I think if Link's on the offensive, it might be more like 70-30.
Sure. But I think knowing that he was on the defensive, Sub-Zero could use his frozen aura to negate his block damage.
Absolutely.
So he would certainly reduce the damage that Link would do to him.
Okay, yeah. Link's way too close to try and unfreeze that freeze if you're covered in invisible freeze.
Yeah.
Because it's just not gonna be good in combat. Cryolysis is not a combat rune, it's a utility rune for the most part.
I would say also, by this point, Sub-Zero has probably done enough hits, taken enough damage to like have built up some of his bars.
Absolutely, yeah.
He hasn't used any enhanced abilities, and thus would be able to just use a breaker by spending two of them.
Okay.
Just to like instantly cancel Link's combo, and then once again take the offensive.
Okay, so he uses a breaker, so expends some of his, I think, so no X-ray move for Sub-Zero in upcoming time, but he manages to break Link's offensive and gets on the offensive himself.
Sure, which I feel like, as he's probably towards the end of his life, a worthwhile endeavour.
Yeah. And as we've discussed before, he's a bit stronger. He's going to do some decent damage to Link. But Link is no longer... Link, I think, has got a decent amount of experience of sword fighting you. I think he might be able to get in a good parry with his shield just once.
Okay.
Which would leave Sub-Zero staggered for a bit. And he can get in another quick flurry of blows. But I think he's going to be running... That would probably put him at a stamina outage.
Okay. So what can he do when his stamina is out? Can he still fight at all?
He can walk... /run, but it's not a fast run. I'm not sure if you can swing a sword, honestly, I can't remember. It's been a while since I played it. But I'm going to say that it's mostly just no. I think you can still block, but it's really ineffective.
Sure. So would he then try and escape, or would he try and hold his ground and block until his stamina comes back?
Probably. Well, the thing is, if he tries to escape, it's going to put him in a compromising position. You're not staggered yourself. The most effective move for him would be to try and hold his ground.
Okay, so Sub-Zero would probably, again, try and freeze him with an ice ball.
I don't think there's anything Link would be able to do about that.
Oh, really? You see, I even had a counter ready, but that's fine if I...
I mean, he's out of stamina at this point. I don't think there's much he's going to be able to do about that.
Cool. Well, I think maybe potentially then, being that his opponent is more tired, this would be the point that Sub-Zero would just impale him with the sword.
Okay.
Just to do like the constant bleed damage, and then would just sort of lay into him with punching and kicking combos.
Okay. It's a bit of a combo. It would probably not click back. He'd probably be flashing red, and he's got a sword stuck for him.
Yeah.
Not ideal, is it?
No, I would say his time is limited.
Have you ever had a sword stuck for you?
I haven't, thankfully. The closest I've had is I cut my hand open this year on a shard of glass. You know, like, that was quite bad.
This year? There's only been 6 days of this year.
Oh, not this year. Yes, there has only been 6 days of this year. Last year.
I was like, when did you do that? I don't remember you doing that.
But that's the closest I've had to being having a sword stuck through me.
Yeah, probably. I've cut myself into glass before. Kind of staple inside me. Not like a medical staple.
No.
I think Link's going to have to... You don't have a sword anymore. He's going to have to go in for some sword stuff, because now he's got like a genuine advantage coming up. I don't know how good Sub-Zero is at blocking swords.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's got his frozen aura, which will reduce the damage slightly. As far as Mortal Kombat is concerned, it's no different to blocking any other thing.
Mm. I think you get obviously you're good at, you can block and do a bit of a counter, and I do think the Sub-Zero would find, you know, it's not like a relentless, like, oh, I can't get through this sword. Anything can be countered with the right timing.
Sure, and also, is Link still sort of low stamina'd?
No, he would have recovered it.
Okay, well, I think what would then happen then, so Link would probably go in for the sword attack, but then, again, trying to use moves he hasn't done, rather than using the Barrier of Frost to counter like he did last time, he'd probably use his Ice Clone and just sort of hop back behind that and hope that Link strikes that instead because of momentum of swords.
I imagine that he probably would.
Yeah, which would again cause Link to be frozen, allow Sub-Zero to sort of lay into him with another combo.
And I imagine that would probably be the end of Link.
You reckon? You reckon that's enough?
I reckon that's enough.
Cool. I think it would be at this point then that Sub-Zero would then do the classic and just sort of pull his head out with the spine attached. I think he'd go old school.
Old school on old school. I think, like, overall, the close combatness of our hospital didn't help Link much.
No, that's it. I very much thought Link was going to win. He was who I had the bunny on until I rolled hospital.
Right, because Sub-Zero, he predominantly fight. I'm not saying that Link doesn't predominantly fight close combat as well, but Sub-Zero almost explicitly only fights close combat and is used to a lot more of that, whereas Link is used to fighting monsters and stuff that aren't very good with martial arts skills.
Non-sentient things.
Has a lot of abilities which are very useful at distance.
Yeah, that's it. I see Link as more of a mid-range fighter.
Mm. Yeah, like his Cryonesis rune would have been incredibly useful at mid-range or long-range. But yeah, not at close range, where there isn't enough time to get it up in between attacks, for example. Equally, because it's in a hospital, bombs are out of the question, because they could have been quite useful.
Yes, that's it. They could have blown up a lot of the ice stuff.
I just don't think it was his environment. I think he got a bit of an advantage after his first quote-unquote death, with understanding a bit more how Sub-Zero works, being able to dodge him a bit more, but I don't think it would have been enough.
Yeah, that's it. Sub-Zero still had a variety of abilities he hadn't used yet. Mm.
And is quite strong in general.
Yes.
I don't think it would have been enough.
Absolutely. Like, you've played MKX, genuinely, I think everyone in that game is insanely strong. You can tell from the just sheer brilliance of the noise of somebody being punched in that game.
Indeed.
I think that was the thing that most stood out to me about MKX, was just the sound of people being hit was just brutal.
Man, I hope we don't hear this on the night out.
Yeah.
I mean, I had Sub-Zero down to win probably anyway.
Yeah.
I just think he's got a bit, like... Because there are people in Mortal Kombat who attack with swords all the time, and Sub-Zero just, like, they can take the hits and slashes and stuff. I think if it had been a long-range combat, Link probably would have won, not hands down, but comfortably.
Yeah, whereas I think that was a close battle, but I think, you know, Sub-Zero's won it.
We agree, dead. Now Link is dead forever, so congratulations, Ganon.
Oh yeah, oh god, what's going to happen to Princess Zelda and Hyrule now that the Hero of Time is gone? Well, I don't know, but Link would just come back as a different Link, right?
Oh, I was going to say Sub-Zero.
The Hero of Time works. Oh, that'd be amazing. That is a crossover.
Sub-Zero running around Hyrule. He would get wrecked by Ganon.
Well, maybe
not,
that will happen on a future episode.
To be fair, probably not the Breath of the Wild Ganon.
Is Breath of the Wild Ganon rubbish?
It looks cool.
Okay.
But it wasn't the best fight ever.
That's a bit unfortunate.
It was.
Anyway, that was episode 1 of Mishmash Mayhem. I hope you all enjoy listening to it. If you would like to tell us how you think that fight would have gone, or if you think that you agree with how we said the fight would have gone, you can tell us that too. It's always nice to know that people agree with us. And you can do that on the Twitter. If you go to Mishmash Mayhem at Podcast MMM, that's where you'll find us.
Tweet, tweet.
That's it. You can give us a little tweet and be like, oh, I thought it was really good. Or, oh, I thought you guys were stupid. You know, both are plausible on the internet.
I mean, we are pretty stupid.
Well, that's true. But hopefully, at least mildly informed in this particular instance.
Stupid, but informed.
Similarly, if you would like to suggest what characters you'd like to see, or not see because it's a podcast, but hear us discuss fighting, then you can suggest that on Twitter too. Or if you'd like to suggest any locations for them to fight in, also you can do that on our Twitter at PodcastMMM. And then I guess the final thing to do is to inform you that, or not the final, the penultimate thing to do, sorry, is to inform you that the way we are planning on carrying on Mishmash Mayhem podcast is that the winner of each fight continues to the next episode. So episode 2 will be Sub-Zero versus somebody else.
Oh.
I know.
Chilling.
Yes. We already know who the next one is. Do you think we should give a clue?
Sure.
Okay. God, I've got to think of a clue now.
Clue that isn't obvious.
Yeah, right.
Isn't not obvious.
Oh, I mean, not a massive clue, I guess, but a slight teaser. As we were sort of saying, both the characters in this episode were actually good guys. It's interesting to know that in episode 2, a bad guy will be the challenger.
Wow, that depends on the perspective.
Unless you are a maniacal racist, it is a bad guy who is the character.
Can't be obvious, like, but I am.
Yeah, I am a maniacal racist. I'm going to love this guy. Yeah. So there you go. I mean, I guess that's another clue then. The evil character who will appear in episode 2 can quite easily be interpreted as a comment on racism. And then finally, we'd like to thank our good friend Tom for helping us set up our podcast and including us in the Have Many Things family.
Yes.
You can check him out on his website, Tinker Tailor Soldier Sponge. Or you can listen to his podcast, Hat of Many Things, or Dr. Wilco's Campaign for Better Beverages, depending on whether you want to listen to him talk about random topics or whether you want to talk about him having cocktails. And that's it then. So thank you for listening. Hopefully you will tune in next time to see who Sub-Zero faces in the future.
Indeed. Catch y'all's lights.
Toodaloo.
Boom, boom. This is the end of the recording.